God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory, the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. And after he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty in heaven, so he became as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is superior to theirs. And then moving over to John 16. John 16 and verse 5, Jesus speaking to his disciples, he said, "Now I am going to him who sent me, yet none of you asks me, 'Where are you going?' Because I have said these things, you are filled with grief. But I tell you the truth, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the Counselor will not come to you, but if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. In regard to sin, because men do not believe in me. In regard to righteousness, because I'm going to the Father, where you can see me no longer. And in regard to judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned." Amen. The Lord bless his word to our hearts. As Patrick has said, I want to begin a little three-week series on the subject of listening to God. Listening to God. The older I get, both as a person and as a Christian, the more I appreciate the simple things in life. I think that's probably something that all of us do as we get older. And when it comes to Christian living, the Christian life really boils down to just a few simple truths and practices. It's all really, really very simple. First, we give our lives to Christ and ask him to forgive our sins. And in doing that, we invite him to come into our lives and live in us by his Holy Spirit. Now, having done that, then all we need to do is to listen to what God says to us and do it. Dead simple. Just listen to what he says to us and do it. It is dead simple, but it's not always easy. Sometimes it's not easy to hear what he's saying, and other times when we do hear what he's saying, it's not easy to do it. So we're caught in a bit of a dilemma. But I think it's good, and especially at the beginning of another year, or any year in fact, I think it's good just to go back over the basics and look at the basic sort of things about being a Christian and remind ourselves of the basics, because normally if we get the basics right, everything else fits into place. You know, sometimes we get so complicated. And over the years that I've been a Christian, you know, there's been so many complications. Do it this way, do it that way, do this, go here, go there, whatever. It all boils down to simply listening to God and doing what he says. It boils down to that. So, you're not, over the next 3 weeks, I don't think you're going to hear anything you've never heard before. You're not going to hear any marvelous revelation, because we'll be just going over the simple things and hopefully reminding ourselves about them. Now, the first point that I want to make is this. I want to highlight the amazing fact that God wants to talk to us. The amazing fact that God wants to talk to me and to you. God wants to talk to us. We read from Hebrews about how God in times past spoke to us and to the people through various prophets in various ways. And then we also read, but in these last days he has spoken to us through his Son. Now, I think that we all can understand that. I can understand that and accept it. And the Bible also tells us that God speaks to us through the creation that he has made. O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the works that you have made. God does speak to us through the marvels of his creation. Now, it somehow seems right and proper to me, and I find it easy to understand that the Almighty God should speak to us in such majestic ways through the wonder of the world that he has made. I think it's right and appropriate that God should speak to us in those kind of ways. The thing that I find more difficult to understand and to actually believe is the fact that that same Almighty God actually wants to talk to me about the things that affect my life today and tomorrow and next week and each day that I live. It somehow seems to me that those things are too small for a great, big, wonderful God to be interested in, but nothing could be further from the truth. That same God who threw the world into space and the stars, and he calls them by name, the song said. He's interested in me and you and the things that are going to happen to us today and tomorrow and over the coming days. The amazing fact that God wants to talk to us. It's just a reminder again that God Almighty wants to talk to me, if I will listen. Let me just dwell on this truth that God wants to talk to us a little longer, and I want to put it in a different way. Suppose Jesus was to come back to earth in a human form and conduct a series of meetings in some of the big cities of the world. How do you think that would go down? Well, about 20 years ago, we had what we call came to be known as the Toronto Blessing. And over that period of time, you know, thousands of Christians from all over the world traveled to Toronto because they were hungry for God, to get something from God. And I have no means of knowing, but I suspect they probably spent millions of pounds traveling to Toronto because there was the blessing of God there. Now, even after 20 years, I don't think we will ever know this side of eternity how much good was actually done. There's no doubt that many, many people were blessed and encouraged in God. But how many lives were actually transformed and changed for the better, we'll never know. I don't think we need to know, because God knows those things. But can you imagine what would happen if Jesus was actually on earth? I know for what I would be on the internet to get the ticket, and I would sell whatever if I needed to sell the house to get there. If I was sure that Jesus was in Jerusalem or in Toronto or in London even, you know, every hungry Christian would want to go there. It wouldn't be possible for everybody to get, but we would want to go, and especially so if it was the case that not only was he preaching and teaching publicly where people could go and sit and listen, but he was also willing to take questions, and he was willing to give every individual maybe 15 minutes of personal interview to talk to them about whatever they wanted to ask him. Now, wouldn't that be absolutely fantastic? It ain't going to happen. Not in this world and not in that way. But God has actually done something better. That's why I read from John 16. Jesus surprised his disciples, I think, in the first place by saying, I'm going away and I'm going to leave you. And they were very, very sad. And then he must have confused them. even more by saying, it's for your benefit that I'm going away. Now, that must have been very difficult for the disciples to kind of work out. How on earth could it be for our benefit that he's actually leaving us? But it was. Because he said, if I don't go away, the Holy Spirit won't come. You see, when Jesus was here on earth, he was a human form. He was God in human form, but he was limited as a man. He was limited to one place at one time. When he was preaching and teaching in Galilee, he couldn't be preaching and teaching in Jerusalem at the same time. So in actual fact, even for the people who lived in Palestine, when Jesus was here on earth, and as far as we know, he never moved outside of Israel during his earthly ministry, you know, your chances of actually hearing him speak to you or seeing him or hearing him just depended on being in the right place at the right time when he happened to be around. And of course, he was only in certain places at a certain time. I suspect, again, we have no means of knowing, but I suspect the vast majority of people who lived in Israel at that time probably never heard or saw Jesus, because the went didn't happen to be at Jerusalem or Galilee or whatever village he was passing through. But when he sent the Holy Spirit, he said he's going to be with you, he's going to be in you, and he's going to do the work that I have been doing. So when the Holy Spirit came, he wasn't and isn't limited to one place at one time. He can speak to anybody and everybody at the same time. He is the Spirit of God. He lives in us, and he will be with you and is in us. So wherever I am, he is. And anybody, any Christian certainly, on earth can speak to him at any time and hear what he's got to say. It's just the same as if Jesus was here on earth in a physical form, but he isn't. I can speak to Jesus at any time, any day or night. So can you. But more important, I can listen. You see, it's easy for us to think of prayer as talking to God, and of course it is talking to God. But it's not just talking to God. Real prayer is communicating with God, talking and listening. And, you know, that is still, to me, an amazing thing. Now, again, I said, you're not hearing anything new. But we can talk to God at any time, and we can listen to what he says to us. It's a bit like having a built-in radio receiver inside of us, a divine radio receiver built in, and all we have to do is to tune in, to switch it on and tune in. Now, it is so simple that sometimes we just take it all for granted. That's what I mean. The amazing truth that God wants to talk to me. Probably next week we'll look a little bit more about what he talks to us about. But you see, he's interested in what we are doing. He's interested in what's going on in my life. He's interested in what we have to do. Oh, next week or next year. Or this year that we just entered upon. So, the amazing truth that God wants to talk to us. Second point I want to make is this. What is the key in being able to listen to God? What is the key? Is there a key? Or what is the secret of it? Well, it's very, very simple again. It's simply that we have to slow down and listen. We have to slow down and listen. When Jesus was here on earth, he was often under pressure from needy people and from curious people, probably, to give his time to them. But again and again in the Gospels, we read how he used to make it a habit of his life to get away from the crowds of people and even from his own disciples in order to spend time with his heavenly Father. See, he was when it was noised abroad that Jesus was in the house, the people couldn't get in. It was crowded. And that was the pattern of Jesus' life. When people heard that Jesus was here, you know, the crowds gathered from whatever. Do you remember one day he said to the disciples, let's get away for a while, let's go over to the side of the sea and have a bit of a break. And when he got there, the crowds were there already because they saw him leave in the boat and they said, oh, we'll go. And so he felt it necessary in the busyness and the demands, and there were all those people who needed healing or something. He found it necessary to get away from the crowds and get away from the villages and the towns and get out sometimes on the mountainside, sometimes early in the morning. He went away and spent time to be with the Father and to listen to him. Now, if Jesus needed to do it, how much more do we? How much more do we? We need to be able to slow down and listen. Now, we are all different people and we function in different ways. So there's no sort of, at least I don't think there's any kind of set, do it this way and it'll always work. We're different and we're different kinds of people, and it's up to us, to each of us, to find a pattern or something that works for us. You see, some people are, I tend to be a morning kind of person. Once it gets to 10 o'clock at night, I've had it. You know, I'm not not up to much, certainly after that. But I like to get up early in the morning, or at least reasonably early. And my normal pattern now is to just spend time after breakfast, have a little time with the Lord, reading the Word and listening and talking to him and bringing the day to God. That works for me now. But when I was farming at home in Ireland, I used to start milking cows at 6 o'clock in the morning. So morning wasn't a good time for me to spend time with God. So it had to be at the other end of the day, often going away when the work was finished and having a time with the Lord. It doesn't matter when or how you do it. And I'm assuming here that all of us who've been Christians for a while, I'm making an assumption, which I hope is right, that all of us already have some kind of pattern that we work to, that we spend time with God, listening to God, reading the Word, feeding. That is normal for a Christian. And all I'm really saying is, at the beginning of another year, let's look at it again and see if there's ways we can improve on that. If there's ways that we can hear better. Sometimes it's good to set aside extra time. You know, a few days away, I used to go up to Noel Todd's cottage up in Rothbury before I retired. I often went up there maybe two or three times a year just to have a couple of days away from the phone and away from everybody and to listen. And it's, I think all of us are the same in different ways, because we get so involved in all the stuff that we're doing that it takes a while kind of to slow down. It's a bit like when you go on holiday. You know, the first couple of days, it usually takes you kind of, you're still busy in your mind, even physically you might not be, but it takes a while to sort of wind down. And in the same way, in listening to God, sometimes it's good to get away for deliberately away from people, even our best friends, to kind of wind down and say, Lord, I just want to spend a bit extra time with you to listen to what you've got to say. I think that's very important, especially if we're having to make some big decisions, if we're approaching a stage in life where we've got to make important decisions. Jesus developed a rhythm in his life where he balanced his giving out in ministry to his receiving from the Father in listening. He developed that, and he made sure that he kept to it. Because, you know, there were so many demands on his time and his energy. And there's a little verse in the Bible that never explains. It says once, do you remember when the woman came and touched the hem of his garment? He said he knew that virtue had gone out of him. Don't know what that means really, but it seems to imply that there was something taken from Jesus in his giving out to that sick lady. That there was something that he lost deliberately, not in a negative way, but something had gone out of him, and that's why it's a bit like, you know, a battery needs to be recharged. My phone, I have to plug it in at least once a week, charge it up, because in the normal course of events, it gradually dissipates. And it's the same in our spiritual life. We don't have to be doing anything particularly. Sometimes if we're doing some things, maybe it takes more spiritual energy than others. But even without, just in the normal course of events, the things, our spiritual energy tends to dissipate. And we need to recharge. And the only way we can do that is spending time with the Lord, listening to what he says to us, and listening to what is on his heart. Busyness seems to be one of the curses of our age. Now, I find it absolutely, I think we all do, absolutely fascinating. You see, in the last 20 or 30, 40 years, there have been so many inventions made to enable us to do things a lot quicker, a lot faster, a lot easier than we used to do. You know, you ladies, if you'd lived 50 years ago, you didn't have all your gadgets and your washing machines and all, you know, those lovely good days when you had to scrub the floor and, you know, do all sorts of things. But in spite of all the things that we have invented to save time, people are as busy as ever. Probably more so. And, you know, that just seems to be the pattern of life. Doris and I were in Eldon Square during the week. And I sometimes like, if she's in the shop, I'll sit down and I just watch people going by. I think it's fascinating. You see all these hordes of people walking. And I couldn't help but notice all the young people. There were dozens and dozens of young people, you know, teenagers and that kind of people. And they're all talking and chatting, and usually groups of them, very few on their own. But as they were talking and chatting with each of them were still on their phone. You know, or they were reading or texting or they were doing something. It seemed as if it was impossible to be quiet or to do nothing. Yeah, there had to be multitasking, had to be doing loads of different things at the same time. Now, if we're going to listen to God, we have to get away from that. Now, I suspect there's not that many teenagers here, apart from Matthew. Maybe you do that, Matthew. But we probably couldn't do it. But we have to get slow down and listen. Now, when you think of Jesus, you know, the world that he lived in was a very, very different world from our world. I mean, there was no telephone. There was no radio. There were certainly no mobile phones, no texting, no internet, no nothing. And yet, Jesus felt it necessary even to leave the people that he was with to slow down, in a sense, to get away to be with the Father. Now, we've got all of these distractions, all of this stuff. Now, there are many good things about being able to communicate with the world through the internet, etc., because we can be in touch with anything that's happening in the world at any time. Now, there's good things about that. But one of the bad things about it is it means that the world can be in touch with us at any time. We can be bombarded with information constantly. And it takes quite a bit of discipline to actually say, no, I'm not going, I'm going to switch. I'm constantly going through my emails and the ones that I don't want, remove to the, I've forgotten what the term is, the folder that you don't want, the rejected folder or whatever, so they don't send you stuff again. Because we are constantly being bombarded with all sorts of information, not wrong information, is it? But I just don't need it. And if we're going to spend time with the Lord, we have to learn to switch the other things off. To switch off the phone, leave your mobile phone wherever it is, go somewhere else, and just spend time listening to the Lord. Have you ever tried to, you know, sometimes in your situation where you're listening to two conversations at the same time, there's somebody talking here and there's somebody talking here. Now, the net result is that you get a distorted version of both. You cannot hear clearly what either is saying because there's this two voices at the same time. And it's the same if we want to listen to the Lord, we have to switch everything else off. Whatever that means, or how it works out in your life and in mine. For me, it's sitting in the chair, having a cup of coffee in the morning before things sort of tend to get busy or happen. Whatever suits you, it might be in the nighttime, it might be whatever. And really, all that I'm saying today, and we'll pick up next week, all that I'm saying, as I said a moment ago, is I'm sure we all have a pattern already, but I'm challenging myself, Lord, I want to do it better. I want to hear from you more clearly. Can you imagine the difference it would make this year if every decision that I made, everything I was always knew what was the right decision to make or the right way to go because I'd heard from the Lord. I always knew which was the, and I've said this before and I'm sure, you see, as Christians, the big issue for me is not right and wrong. I think it's always easy to know the difference between right and wrong. The Holy Spirit, you know, if there's something that's wrong, the Holy Spirit is very good at saying that's wrong. I don't think we need a megaphone to hear that. But it's all the multiple choices that we make. All the choices between this, that, this, the, you know, the good and the best. Those are the more difficult ones to make. And it only comes through listening. Father, what are you saying about this? What are you saying about this issue in the family? How can I influence that person toward you? You know, Lord, how do I pray for so and so? All of those kind of things. And it just takes time. It's not difficult, but it takes time, and we have to be humble enough and simple enough to do it. Amen. Father, just take the words that I have said, the things that are just mine, let them be forgotten, but the things that the Holy Spirit would emphasize, let them become seed in our hearts that will grow, and so that each of us here in this day, this year that we've just entered upon, we will learn to listen. Open my eyes, Lord. I want to see Jesus. Open the eyes of my heart. Open our ears, Lord. And just help us to do that consistently so that we will be able to hear your voice and your promptings in Jesus' name. Amen.